So you do not have to go take any action, or you want anything from us? I mean, is there anything?
I don't think so, yeah. I think we'll wait until we see what the board of appeals wants.
All right.
On a site visit. The second one is a VR 789, application by Robert and Linda Lindsay for a variance to allow the subdivision of an existing parcel into a one lot split off of 1 acre. And this property is at 1155 Pizel Road, tax map 42, parcel 202, grid 531, and is, oh, I'm sorry, parcel 202 and 531. It's two different parcels. They're going to split 1 acre off of it. It's in LR2, though, so they only want to split off 1 acre off of 15.
I can see, do you see a problem with this at all?
No, that's, it's up on Pizel Road where I think they've deemed possibility for that it might be changed to LR1. That's what their argument is.
Okay.
That sewer and water is available there.
Okay, yeah, I mean, there's plenty. I mean, it's not like they don't have enough land to do this. I mean, it, anybody have any concerns with this?
No, I don't.
Jeff? Liz? Okay, send on down to the zoning appeal board. All right, so we got Skip, Sky and committee update.
Sky and committee update. Obviously, I am here, not anybody else. So we are still working on a draft. I heard from Mike Getty earlier in the week, and we're now working back and forth together. I'm drafting a lot of stuff, so I figured what I'd do is go ahead and show you at least a format change so you know what's coming.
Do you foresee any timeline you can think of?
See, what's going to happen is we will, Mike and I have to get it fleshed out. I think with me doing a lot of the writing, it'll be done fairly quickly. Then we've got to get the committee back together. There's still a few things that we just need to hash out, make sure they're okay with. You know, since I'm doing some of the writing and some of the stuff that we were debating never actually took a vote on, let's take taking some license as the author, and we'll see what they say. So we have to go through that process, and then it'll come to you. But we're only anticipating one more meeting, but they have to have this. They need at least a week to review it before we meet. So I guess the short answer is no, I don't have a timeline for you. There's still some things that need to be done.
It's tough to have somebody to write, get everything else going on. You have any input on this, Jim? Or?
I don't have any input on it, but can you kind of highlight what the issues are that are?
One of the big things was the Reed v. Gilbert. So we cannot call real estate signs now. We can't distinguish one sign from another sign, a church sign from a school sign from a it's in my yard and I don't like you sign. It's all a type of sign. So the whole format of the thing had to change. So what we ended up with is the idea of a chart. So you'll see on the one side is the type of sign. So it's an on-premise sign. It's a freestanding. It's attached to the building. It's a development complex, which is basically a subdivision sign. Types of signs is how we need to do this now. The good part is it kind of gives us the ability to simplify things. The bad part is that you cannot distinguish and treat anything differently. So in a lot of cases, we come up on this and we go, oh, well, this freestanding sign we like, and this one we don't like, and this one we want big, and this one we want small. And I'm like, and you can't do that anymore. You can't. So it's kind of an all or nothing kind of thing. It's simpler, but it's all or nothing. So there are going to be some good things, and there are going to be some bad things, and so, I don't think there's any way around it.
I mean, is it your opinion that the end product is going to address those issues it causes to do this? And
yes. Yes. Yeah, there were four things specifically that need to be addressed, and those are all addressed. At this point, I'm dealing with some existential issues that have got brought up by the committee as well. it comes down to setbacks and the little finer details. So that
process is, it comes to the commission and then goes to the commission?
It goes to the committee, then it goes to the commission, then it goes to you guys.
Okay.
And of course, this commission can do another public hearing. You have to do one, so those are the things. So you'll
one,
see.
One of the things is that a couple on the sign committee want to have, they want to have it done by summer, so that the new people coming in would know what the regulations were, and that's not going to happen. So the earliest I'm thinking July or August, probably, right?
Probably, yeah. And Mike told them that a while ago, that there's just,
well,
you have to go
the last
through the process. That, it has to. You really don't want to short circuit it at all.
So in the interim, people can pretty much do what they want them.
They're still under the same regulations that are currently in place. So, yeah. You can't do anything you want, but you have to abide by the current code, which.
Any changes in height, width?
Sign height was one of the specific things. So basically what they did was we decided that the 20-foot height was okay, which is across the board. However, they wanted to grant an exception. We don't call it that anymore, a bonus, I guess, if you're on a steep slope. So if you've got a steep slope and your sign starts here, you lose height that somebody that isn't on a steep slope would have. So they're allowing 5 feet. That's what this little star is up here. And it goes down here and it says, if the center line of the abutting road is higher than the 20 feet maximum, signs will be allowed a bonus height depending on grade, no higher than 5 feet. So the maximum then would be 25 feet. But if you only need 3 feet, you only get 3 feet, right? You'll get it 23, not 25, right? So it depends on the grade. But it does give them a little bonus. And one thing that wasn't one of the things that needed to be addressed, but I think it's a pretty good idea, they did also decide right here, the signage area, it's usually 100 square feet, bump it up to 125. But this bonus area of signage I thought was a pretty good idea. You could go up to 150 if you choose not to do an electric messaging sign. You know, don't light it up, and we'll give you a little bit extra area. Or if you, another talking point was if you've got multiple businesses and, you know, don't want to be, you've got a lot more to say on your sign than somebody that's only advertising one business. So you get a bonus of some more area. So those are the little details that we're working out. We went round and round about 10% of building face. If that was sufficient, and finally determined, we have a regulation that says you're allowed, if you're going to put the sign on the building, you can do 10% of your building face, but it goes to a maximum of 100 square feet. And it's the 100 square feet that was the issue. So we went round and round about whether we should use the building face thing, but finally decided that if you get rid of the maximum, it'll take care of the problem. Because if you have a bigger building and you're confined to a smaller sign because of the maximum, 10% seems to be reasonable regardless of size of building. So it's those kinds of things. But the look of the whole chapter will be different because the big thing will be this chart. So hopefully you can go, I've got this type of sign, go across. We have a separate section for definitions, but we put them here, just a shorter version of them, just so that it's a quick look up for those of us in the office that would be doing it. We have a whole new section on LEDs, but we don't call them LEDs anymore. Now they're called EMCs, electronic messaging centers. And I think that turned out very, very well, very up to date. Good information from Watchfire, which is a sign manufacturer for those type of signs. That's good. So we're in the final stages, but the process then begins.
There's a lot of work put into it.
Is there any areas that you just can't seem to get past, or you think you've worked on?
I think we will. There's a couple areas that were holdups for a while, little fights internally within the committee, but you know that happens everywhere.
Yeah.
One of the big fights recently was on whether or not to allow motion on an EMC. Some people love them, some people hate it. It can be done well, it can be done poorly. So I think since they didn't actually vote, it was just kind of a discussion. I ended up putting in my draft regulations, no scrolling, no flashing, no video, so you can't put on a movie on your sign.
Yeah.
And motion would be allowed, but there's timing intervals that need to be established. And with the way that the signs work now, you can get them pre-programmed, and then the person who's operating can't override the programming. It's got to go back to the company to.
Okay.
So those sorts of things are worked in there now.
I totally agree with everything you said. Those parts I don't like that you just mentioned. So, yeah. That's.
In my fear,
I didn't know if there was something that we would have to maybe give you some more guidance like we had before.
Well, the guidance on that really came from Watchfire.
Okay.
And it was amazing to sit there and listen to him, because he said a lot of places ban a lot of things now. What we were looking at was a lot less stringent than even Allegheny County, for example.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I thought that was interesting.
Is this going to be retroactive
in
any way?
No.
I mean, you're talking about moving signs. I'm thinking of the First United up in McHenry. They have that banner on top. Would that be... that type still be allowed?
You would be grandfathered in. If you make any changes to it, then your sign has to then meet the new regulations. That's generally how
so
we work our regulations. We don't retroactive
it. A new sign at a new business could not do that.
Right.
But you're only grandfathered in if you were compliant with previous.
Yes.
If you're out of compliance, you're not.
It's hard, because just about all of the LEDs these days are out of compliance. So, because you couldn't really get them the way we wrote the standards.
Any other questions on the sign? It was no fun, I can tell you.
I can tell you.
Well, yeah. I was there minimal times, but I'll tell you, you've been there the
still
whole ride.
Still not.
Yeah.
But it's getting done. Okay. No other questions on that one?
That's okay. The only pictures we have, so if anybody wants to say anything, you know, keep the picture for a while. All right, comprehensive plan, Debbie.
Comprehensive plan. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pass this around. I didn't make copies of it, but it's we got another comment on the online comment form, and it's actually from a gentleman we already have a comment on a topic we already have a comment on. From him, and I think it's pretty much the same, but I will post it as well and pass it around for you guys to see. It's about transit. I will also send that to Garrett Transit, who is currently working on their transit plan, but they hear from Dick a good bit, so they've heard that. So there's that. Last time we met, we were waiting on me to review the chapter, and I got that done, but just in the last week. So he's processing that, and then he'll get it back. But while we're here,
I read notes. Can I just ask a couple questions just so I can get up to speed? You're just talking about a specific chapter, not the whole comprehensive plan, correct?
Correct.
And
but remember,
did we grant an extension with the
ACOL? I talked to our purchasing guy, and he said what we did the last time by sending them a letter is exactly what he would have done, and we need to do that again. But we can't do that again until we get a date, and he couldn't give me the date until I got done with my review and he figured out how much I was going to cut it up. I don't think I did that bad of a job of cutting it up. I mean, that is a relative term in this case.
And is this the first chapter we're looking at getting done, or have I missed anything?
This is the first draft that he sent to staff.
Okay.
So I'm getting the big obvious things out of the way, the philosophical debates that you probably don't want to get into, the numbers that may or may not be right that I need to double check. So I'm going through all of that, and you'll see. I mean, I marked it way up. I don't think anything that I put in there. I make comments like, see minutes from March 1st, 2017, that goes back. So you just kind of have to go through everything and make sure that everything's correct. Here's one of the philosophical debates. I hate using the word sprawl, right? So I informed him what the definition of sprawl was and said it didn't apply to us. So these are some of the debates that we will go through, and I'll hash out some of this stuff so that when it gets to you, it'll be pretty good. Also, this is not what the format's going to look like in the end, because remember, we wanted something readable. Some of the existing information, the dry stuff, the tables, that's going to go in an appendix in the back. So he wants it to look like it's going to look like in the end before it gets to you. So hopefully all this would be good. We got to check these numbers. Some things just don't make sense to me. So that's what's going on right now. I finished this. This is just the sustainable environment land use section. But remember, there's four sections.
I'll ask the same question I ask every meeting. Are you feeling comfortable with what you're getting back from them?
Yes.
Okay. And last time we talked about extension and the money and everything else that went.
You have a new guy. I saw Rogers or
Chris Rogers. Christopher Rogers. Yes, he's.
He was here what, two meetings ago?
Yeah, and he'll be at the next one, but until I gave him.
We just have to make sure that you cover your bases for whatever. Extensions or whatever, like you said.
Yes.
So now, what are you looking for? I guess another question: what timeline now are we looking for? January?
I don't know. Until he goes through mine and says, "Okay, it's going to take me this long per chapter." He wanted to get through one chapter and then he'd be able to estimate how long.
You want a January deadline? Is that when we have to have it?
We don't have a deadline.
Okay,
for
I couldn't remember that.
No, they said we didn't have to be done until 2023. So. We're good with MVP. It's just we don't want to drag it out too long and have to do all our public meetings again.
He doesn't know that though, right?
I think he does, actually. Since he's doing another plan in Maryland, I think he's aware.
Yeah, since our head's already wrapped around, I don't want to drag it out that long.
Right. Another thing I'm working on is future growth areas with the towns. So I'm making the maps and saying, hey, this is where you said you wanted to annex last time. Is that still the same? I was thinking there was one area that definitely needed to change, and I can't remember who that was. One of the towns. Anyway, so we're working on that.
That's a lot of work due there, isn't it? I mean, it's just
it's just a communication and herding cats kind of exercise.
Okay, anybody have any questions about the comprehensive plan?
You know, solar is a big issue in a lot of counties now, especially in the metro area.
Right.
Some counties have designated areas where they can put in solar farms, solar panels, or what solar arrays, whatever you want to call it. And if there's this controversy about not allowing them to be put on green space or on good farmland and that kind of stuff. It's kind of interesting because the environmentalists are actually sort of fighting with each other, you know, those that are for renewable energy and then those that want to preserve farms and green space and all that too. Should we or do we have anything in our comprehensive plan that addresses that?
We don't have it currently. We did decide when we went through this process that that needed to be addressed in this new one. So when we did the public workshops, solar was part of the renewable energy table that we did. So it will be addressed in this one. We will be limited compared to other counties because they use their zoning ordinance to control those sorts of things. And we only have zoning in certain places. So we can certainly put it in our zoning ordinances. And outside of that, we can say we encourage or discourage or however we want to play that out. But as far as regulation goes in non-zoned areas, there's not a whole lot we can say about it.
It's kind of like wind turbines in some ways then, because we don't have countywide zoning.
Right.
We're pretty much limited to places that are zoned as far as restrictions go.
Yes. And for the most part, they don't want to go where it's zoned anyway, except for that one on Sandlot that we're getting. Yeah. Okay. Most of your open spaces are elsewhere. Yeah. But, of course, they want to locate wherever the lines are that they can tie into. So, I mean, we could certainly do a mapping exercise like the other counties have done. It's just at the end, if there's no regulatory power to do anything with it, then what was the purpose?
I'm not suggesting. I'm just asking because I know, like, I think Charles County designated think it's 1,500 acres or something, and it's already all spoken up and used for, so.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason was the fight with the PSC, Public Service Commission, can override county, especially when it comes to energy. So they would overwrite zoning laws, but if it would appear that the zoning laws were trying to just say no to all energy, then they're going to overwrite you. But if it looks like you made a good faith effort to say, we're not opposed, and these are the areas where we're going to let them be, then that's fine. But the other level to that was that you don't just say, yeah, we're going to stick them over here. You actually looked at where the lines are and where it makes sense, and you made a good effort. And then they're less likely to override your local regulations.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
You mentioned the municipalities about annexing their potential.
Yes, and I remembered which one it was. It was Grantsville. Grantsville needs to change theirs, because I know they want to annex. But
I'm just wondering, what about the Mountain Lake Park Oakland dispute on that Never Never Land strip?
They went through that last time,
yeah.
And so they both show future growth areas in the Never Never Land split. I call it no man's land, but you know, maybe they'll go through a debate again. I don't know, but for right now, part of the growth area belongs to Oakland, and part of the growth area belongs to Mountain Lake Park, and they meet in the middle and dispute the line. But yeah, I like to stay out of that fight.
The cell tower.
Don't go there.
Anything else?
Not on that topic, no.
Anything? I think that's comprehensive. I didn't skip anything. Anybody else? Any in the commission have anything? Bruce, anything? Do you have anything else? Jeff? Shelley? Tim?
No.
Jeff? Any input? Yes, okay. All in, all done?
All done.
Next meeting is May.
That was easy.
June 5th.
Yep.
June.
Here. All right. Thanks.
Okay.